Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Okay, I'm back with Marcos Vidal, an executive in the insurance industry, which we'll cover a little bit later on. But what I wanted to cover now, Marcos, is there was a moment in your life where a number of things came together and you felt really overwhelmed. And so sort of bring us to how that situation arose, what was facing you, and then how you came out of that.
Well, you know, when I spent 10 years with Puerto Rican Cement, and really was a very great experience. The Rey Ferre gave me the opportunity to be an executive of the company, and I managed to learn about shipping, manage, ships, and bulk carriers, and it was a difficult.
And handle sales throughout the Caribbean.
Sales, so, right, sales and operations.
And shipping and all
in the
all
Caribbean area. And what happened that I resigned from the company in 1980, and I said, I have to go on my own. Then what happened? My Antonio Ferrer.
So things were good in Puerto Rico, but you just wanted to be empresario, self-employed, right, and on your own. Okay,
they tried to retain me, but I said, Antonio Luis, I want to be on my own.
Yes.
So I bought a small business. But anyway, the most, what I was motivated to, when he said, wait, Marco, why you don't get a ship, one of our ships, and you can manage that, the same you have been doing here, and making some money for us. And I didn't know that there will be exiting, let's say, the cement industry, because the export of cement. And then I operated the ship, Cemento and Motor Vessel Cemento Puerto Rico, for about 3 years and a half.
You had what, one ship, two ships?
One ship.
One ship, okay.
One ship, a bulk carrier. Was a specialized ship.
Which you purchased or leased?
I purchased.
You purchased it.
I purchased, right. And Banco Popular.
In order to handle the cements for Puerto Rico Cement,
right,
in the Caribbean.
From Ponce to St. Thomas, St. Croix, Antigua, San Martin, Dominica, all those Caribbean islands.
Kind of what you have been doing before,
oh,
one
yes.
of the aspects, but
right.
Okay. But now you're going to do it on
I
your own.
I used to do that as an employee, an executive, and then as an entrepreneur, a ship owner.
Right.
Business guy. Then I operated the ship for 3 years and a half. One day, Carlos Suarez, used to be the VP, senior vice president, and Antonio Ferrer calling me, Marcos, we stopped exporting cement. We have no cement to export.
What? Why did they stop exporting
well,
cement?
Well, the cement was so expensive. The oil was going up. They were not competitive.
Not competitive.
They decided to not export. And I don't know. I think they
almost
could have done
almost overnight. It wasn't gradual.
Right.
This was
a
business decision.
I was shocked, really.
Yeah.
I said, what the hell am I going to do? Boy.
What they say, you're up the creek without a paddle with a big ship.
Right, right. Then he called me and told me, Marco, don't worry. We will cover that you have to pay to the bank until you sell the ship. Okay, that's, pissed me off.
Did you have a long-term contract with them?
Yeah, a charter. It was a charter.
But with Puerto Rico Cement, did you have a long-time contract?
Yeah, charter.
Yes, but they said.
But Banco Parado no gonna flat. A shipping port doesn't make any money, and if you don't have any cargo, you don't make any money. It's like having an airplane with passenger.
Yeah, what I was getting at did. When you buy the ship, when you bought the ship and you financed the purchase, did you have a contract long-term
yes.
with Puerto Rico Cement
yeah.
for the export of the
yeah.
cement?
Yeah.
So I guess you had a legal action against
oh, yes,
Puerto Rico
but,
Cement,
you know.
But you know, that okay. I mean, I follow you. Yes,
yeah. then I was lucky because I...
it's kind of your legal rights versus the real world.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I met with attorney Donnie Dominguez, that today is a federal judge. And Hector Lafitte, he used to be also the lawyer of Puerto Rican Cement. And then I head out, I went to Venezuela, and I was lucky because in a month and a half, I sold the ship to Cementos Caribe de Venezuela. Bingo, boy.
In a relatively good price, you didn't?
Yeah.
Yeah, you came out okay.
I made good money, and then I paid to Banco Popular, suppliers, the dry dock, that repaired the ship and cost over $100,000. And
so that nightmare looked like
so far so good. Game was war, but in the meantime, the ship grounded once in Antigua. Spent about 2 weeks grounded. because the captain that used to manage the ship, apparently made a mistake, and he took it at sandbank and the ship.
Wow.
The insurance, of course, paid for grounded because.
And that was before. That was after you had sold it.
No, no, before.
Okay.
But part of the crisis.
Part of the crisis. Yeah.
Part of the crisis.
Yeah. You have a ship without business, and then it get grounded out of that.
And I remember a guy who was still living here in Puerto Rico, Paul Simpson. He was a ship. He's a consultant, but he was a ship engineer, whatever. Great. He supported me. I used to have him as a consultant. He went there and he managed to, float the ship.
Desencallarlo.
Desencallarlo.
Yeah. Wow.
And then about 3 months later is when we sold the ship to our friends in Venezuela. And I worked for them about 6 months. They never paid me. But anyway, I sold the ship.
Yeah, that was the key thing.
We had to go to Panama. The owner, the person who bought the ship, was Ciro Febres Cordero. He was one of the 12 apostles of Venezuela. He used to own banks, etc.
Yeah.
And he had a jet. He used to pick me up here. We used to go to the islands, and then we went to Panama to make the transaction. We signed in Panama, but didn't have the money. And he was a co-owner of Banco Latino in Miami. So I said, well, let's go to Miami. Okay, let's go to Banco Latino to get my check. And he paid me $630,000, not that much, but that time I think was good money.
Sí.
And I came to Puerto Rico, it was a certified check. I went to pay everybody. Then relaxed, and then I was going through the situation of my wife and my son. My wife had cancer, and he passed away, he was sick for 5 years.
5 years, struggling with that awful disease, yeah.
And my kids were young. Then my Marcos, my youngest son of my first marriage, he...
You said you had three children with your first marriage?
And twins
and then
this
you
one.
Got remarried, okay.
Right,
yes,
right.
You had two. Yeah,
then
twins.
Marcos had an acoustical neuroma. That's like a golf ball.
Wow, golf
in the
ball,
middle
two
ear.
More kinds. Yeah, wow.
So the doctor who find that out was Frankie Astor, that today is the medical director of TPLS. He was a recent ENT, and he had made his residency in Cleveland, Ohio, Cleveland Clinic. When he realized that, he made all the arrangement, sent me there with him. We went for 10 days. We spent a month and a half.
Wow. And got resolved?
Because he almost died because he suffered pneumonia, thrombophlebitis, whatever. They took out the spine liquid at 5 times.
Yeah.
Because fever
never got
went out. But finally he did. But he lost his,
coordinate, balance?
Balance.
Yeah.
And I used to stay with him, trying to, help him to do exercise, etc. Finally, he came back to Puerto Rico. Finally, he's still here, living fine.
He
finished school and
he recovered from
degree.
The balance and all. He's full recovery. Great news.
He's doing okay. Then my wife passed away. He's okay. Then I remarried and have this.
So what's that? One moment there, you're sort of kind of without a job and haven't gone through a trauma. With the problem of your son, and then with the death of your
things
wife.
Things that I will never forget is when I was with Confederación of Canada, Roy Mulholland. You know Roy Mulholland?
No, I don't.
He had been an insurance guy for many years. He used to be the manager of Confederation Life, and I think his son was the manager of Scotiabank. That now he was transferred to Canada. When he realized that, he said, Marcos, go there. I have your air ticket. He sent me in first class with my son to Cleveland. I didn't have a penny in my pocket.
Right.
Okay.
But this was when your son was sick, or this
yeah.
was that?
No,
he stepped up to the plate to help you.
Right.
When you were in your
I
economic
was on the
doldrums, yeah.
I have a good producer for Confederation, and he saw him desperate.
Okay.
And he
Okay, but support. You then took on the position with life insurance. That's where you got into the whole insurance business, and you're just saying, okay, then that's when your son has the problem, and then the president takes care of.
We close the chapter of the ship.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the insurance. Yeah. While in Confederation Life, happens, and I never forget that. It was
the support you got, and first class, and
also the other person who supported me very much was Frankie Resage. You know Frankie?
Sure.
Well, Frankie was the best man in my second wedding, and I met him in the industry in Puerto Rican Civen, and we are like brothers. And he was another guy who saw me desperate because, you know, I was just beginning my other business.
Right.
Because I pay everybody and I don't have any money.
Right.
No business. And Frankie gave me a check for $5,000. He said, use it if you need it. Friends are for the goods and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
But more in the bad than in the goods. But in the goods, everybody's friend.
Right.
I always remember that phrase.
Yeah. Now, he's one of my favorite people. And I'm going to be invited with my program. I already had talked to him and was just getting around to doing the interview.
You can talk to him about it because he was my best, you know, padrino of mi boda. We are like brothers. You know.
So that brings you to the insurance business.
Okay.
And what we can do is let's take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll go into the into your experience in the insurance business.
Okay.
And where you are today.
Okay.
Which is an interesting development.
Very good.